We'll be taking our reading from Luke 19 this morning. Again, so thankful to be here. So thankful for the Lord allowing his presence to be with us this morning. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you again for this day and this opportunity that we have to be in your house. And that's exactly what we want to do is to bless your name this morning because you're worthy. God, I pray that you'll help us as we get into the scripture this morning. Allow me, God, to get out of the way. I pray that you'll put me in my weaknesses and my faults and my failures, my humanness, and I pray that you'll get me out of the way and just use me for a mouthpiece for your word. God, allow your spirit to work through your word, speak to our hearts, help us this morning. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Luke chapter number 19, let's begin reading with verse number 11. Before we begin reading, just to kind of give us a little bit of what's going on, this, if you go back and start in Luke chapter number 19, you'll find that we were in the place where Jesus went through Jericho and met a man named Zacchaeus. It's so hard for me to get into this scripture and not mention Zacchaeus because I can remember being in Sunday school and singing that little song about Zacchaeus being the wee little man who climbed up in the sycamore tree. And what a blessing it was to know that Jesus passed by and looked up into that tree, knowing the sinner that Zacchaeus was, knowing his faults, and still yet he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to your house." And we know how everybody around said, we can't believe that Jesus would go and associate with sinners. But aren't you glad that Jesus associates with sinners this morning? I am. I'm glad that he looked at me as a sinner and he said, I want to associate with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And then how he, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is to come to seek and to save that which was lost." I'm glad that Jesus looked at me when I was lost, loved me, and offered salvation to me. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." Jesus knew what was going on in the men's hearts and in their minds, and they thought that the kingdom was fixing to happen right now. So in verse number 12 begins a parable that Jesus gave to them. And he said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an obstinate man. Thou takest up, thou layest down not. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an obstinate man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he shall hath be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. As we get into this parable for just a few moments this morning, I want to do my best to preach a message this morning on what have you done with what God has given you. As we look this morning at this parable that Jesus has given to the men around him, as they begin to think that the kingdom is nigh, they begin to think that everything is fixing to take place. And you know, I know over the past couple of Sundays that even in my messages, I have been talking about how I feel that we as Christian people, it is a time for us to be excited. It is a time for us to be looking for Jesus to call us up out of here. I believe with all of my heart that we are living in the last days. And some of you sitting here this morning that are much, much older than me have been hearing that since you were just teeny tiny children in church. And we have all been hearing that the day of the Lord is coming, that Jesus is going to rapture the church, that the church is going to be called up out of here. But I believe with all of my heart that we are living in those last days. Every day that we have now, I'm surprised. I was surprised that Jesus didn't come back this morning, and I'll be surprised if he doesn't come back before the day is out. I believe that we are living in a day that Jesus is fixing to call his church home, that God is fixing to take us up out of here. But I want us to look at some things as we begin to get in that mindset, as we believe that day is fastly approaching, or that day is upon us. I want us to look at a couple of things. First of all, let's go back to verse number 13. I want you to look as this master, as this king, or this man that was fixing to go out and get his kingdom and come back after he had established his kingdom. I want you to notice something that he told his servants. He was getting ready to give his servants some money. The Bible tells us that he gave one of them 10 pounds and one of them 5 pounds. He gave them different amounts. And he said, here, I want you to take this. And verse number 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So we see here, actually, he gave them all 10 pounds. One just gained 5 pounds back. But as we see, he says, occupy till I come. As I began to read these verses of Scripture this week, and as this verse of Scripture began to be on my heart and on my mind, I began to think, what is the definition of occupy? And it is so amazing how that we can come up with different definitions, even though as I looked in Webster's dictionary, as I looked on my phone on the internet, as I Googled it, and as I even looked at the Greek and the Hebrew meaning of this word, how it is used here in this verse, that there were different meanings that were given for the word occupy. And as we look at that word this morning, some of you are occupying a place in church this morning. You're sitting in your pew. You have taken up that space. No one else can have that space, and you are occupying that place in that pew. However, we're just sort of taking up that place. I'm not meaning spiritually this morning. I'm talking about physically. You are just sort of sitting there taking up that place in that pew. I am right now occupying the pulpit. I am in the pulpit. But I want you to notice as we get in to verse number 13, when the king here, or when the man, the nobleman, gave this 10 pounds to his servants, and he said, occupy until I come, his actual meaning that he was given to them was, I want you to take this, and I want you to do business with what I've given you. I want you to take this, and I want you to do something with it. I want you to take it, and I want you to invest this, and I want you to take it and use it that I may come back, and when I have it, I may collect the interest off of what I've given you. This morning, as we are here this morning, I believe that God has told us to occupy until he comes. I believe that God has said, look, I don't know, we don't know. The Bible tells us that not even the Son knows when God is going to call us up out of here. And I believe that it is important for us to know that every day could be the day that the church is raptured home. I believe it is important for us to know that we're living in the last days, and it will actually even spur us for some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. But I believe it is very important for us to also understand that God is in complete control, and if God wants to call us out of here today, he can do that. If God wants to wait till the end of the week, he can do that. If God wants to wait another 100 years, God can do that. That we don't know for sure when God is coming, but what God has given us the instructions to do is to look for his coming, to expect his coming, to live for his coming, but also to occupy while he's gone. And I don't know that some of us may have a different definition of occupying other than what God has given us. Just as the nobleman gave the servants the instructions to occupy, one of them took the thing and he went. He said, I have laid it up on a napkin. I have set up here in a very safe place because I was so afraid to do anything with it. I was so scared because I know that you're a man, that you reap where you have it sown, that you won't back where you haven't done any work. And I was so afraid to do anything with that, so I just laid it up in a safe place. And if you go back and you read the scripture again, you'll notice that the nobleman was so upset with that, that he took his from him and gave it to another. That we see here in the scripture that he says, you know what I expect. You knew what I wanted you to do. You knew that I wanted you to take this and to do business with it. And yet you went and laid it up and you just kind of stored it over there in a safe place and you've done absolutely nothing with it. And he took it away from him, what he had given him. This morning, what I want us to look at is maybe God hasn't given us 10 pounds to go out out and to use. God hasn't given us a financial gain maybe to go out and to use. God hasn't given us something that we just go and physically go and multiply. But I want you to know that God has given us so much more than that. That God has given us something with so much deeper meaning than finances. God has given us something with so much deeper meaning than money could ever buy. And God has given that to us and said, now I want you to occupy until I come. I want you to go and I want you to go do business. I want to give you just a few examples this morning of some things that God has given us that we need to go and we need to go do business with. We need to be occupying with. And I'm not talking about sitting on a church pew, sitting at your house with your arms crossed and saying, I'm just occupying. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Hey, I'm waiting on the Lord too. But I believe that God wants us to do a few things while we're waiting on the Lord. I'll give you, this is not a parable. This is a true story. This is absolutely 100% true. I believe there are men in this world who are very good at making the most out of very little. And there are men in this world who you could give them a little something and they can take it and multiply it. And then there's some of us that you could give us a great big something and we can shrink it down to nothing. I was working with my grandpa. He was probably, I can't remember how old I was. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. I was home for the summer and he called me one day and he said, Josh, he said, oh yeah, she calls me Joshua. He says, would you like to come to the farm and help me today? He said, I'll pay you. Absolutely, I'll be there. So I packed up, and I grabbed me a little old cooler out or a little old sack of some kind, and I threw a pack of nabs in there and a drink, and we went down to the farm, and we was out there, and I can't remember exactly what we were doing. It seems like we were clearing some land, and we were clearing out some stumps and different things, throwing wood, piling up wood or something. And it got to be about 10:30, and Grandpa looked at me, and he said, you want to take a little break and go up there and eat your nabs and you crackers and your drink that you brought? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. So I went up there and I found me a shade tree and I propped up against that shade tree and I was eating my nabs and I was drinking my Coke or whatever it was. And Grandpa come over there and he says, I tell you what, he said, while you're eating your nabs and while we're taking a little break, you want to pick up a few rocks right here? I was like, Papa, we're taking a break. That's not taking a break when you pick up rocks. He was so invested in what we're doing that even the break was a time that you were supposed to work. Grandpa has that mindset. He knows how to occupy not only himself, but you if you're well and able to help him do anything. And you know, as God has left us here, he has given us some things, and he says, I want you to occupy. Well, what's something that God's given us? Well, the first thing that I thought of as I was sitting and reading this scripture and thinking about what God has given me to invest, first of all, God has given me victory. I remember a time in my life when I didn't have victory. And you say, well, preacher, you told us you were saved at 7. It doesn't matter. Even at 7 years old, I realized that I didn't have victory in my life. And yet God gave me victory. God gave me something to celebrate in my life. He gave me victory over death, hell, and the grave. He gave me victory over this world's trials and tribulations. Hey, we know the Bible even says that this world shall be full of tribulation. But he says, do not fear, for I have overcome the world. That he has given us victory over everything that comes our way. You just say, well, preacher, I don't feel like I have victory right now. I'm in the middle of a trial. I'm in the middle of a tribulation. I'm in the middle of something that's just tearing me apart. I want you to know something this morning, that there have been times in each and every one of our lives when we have been in the middle of something and it felt like victory was 1,000 miles away. But how in the world could you sit here this morning and after singing a song that there is coming a day when that final victory is coming, how in the world could you not say, but I know without a doubt that one day that final victory is coming in my life. That yes, I may have this trial in my life right now. I may have this trouble or this tribulation. I may be so brokenhearted. I may be so broken down. But if you're a child of God this morning, I want you to know that you have victory, that you already can start to celebrate, that you can already know that one day when this world passes away, when you pass away, whichever comes first, and you're standing in the presence of an almighty God, that you will have victory in your life. And we should be able to celebrate that victory now, knowing that nobody can beat us. Knowing that nothing in this world can beat us. Yeah, physically it may feel that you're beaten down. Physically it may be that this world is heavy. But spiritually we have victory through Jesus Christ. We all have victory. What are you doing with your victory that God's given you? Are you just occupying your victory? See, it's one thing to have victory and just sit at home and go, well, I've got victory in Jesus. That's wonderful. You can do that. But I want to tell you, there's a lost and a dying world that especially right now, they're looking for some victory. And they're looking in a lot of the wrong places. They're looking in alcohol. They're looking in drugs. They're looking in the lust of the flesh. They're looking in a whole lot of things that this world has to offer them. That the Bible even tells us that there's pleasure in sin for a season. And when they experience that pleasure, they think that they have found victory. Only to not know that they are bringing more destruction into their life. They are bringing more failure. They're bringing more tribulation. This world needs to know that there is victory in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know also that there's a lot of Christians this morning that needs to know that they have victory. They need to be lifted up. They need to be encouraged. They need to be admonished this morning, knowing that they have victory, that even though that they may have to go out here in this world and they may have to live in this world, that this world is not our home and we have victory through Jesus Christ. What are you doing with your victory? Are you setting on your victory? Have you got it just stored away on the shelf over there? Because I want to tell you something. If you get out here and you share your victory and you invest your victory, there'll be a return on that. I don't know what that return will be. You may not ever see it on this side of eternity, but there will be a return on you sharing your victory with a lost and a dying world or with Christians who need that encouraging, who need that lifting up. My thing is this, sometimes we set stuff on a shelf. I'm going to tell y'all a story on me that I'm not very proud of that I think makes me about one of the dumbest human beings that there has ever been. I take especially good care of my firearms. I know without a doubt, I can count them. I got the serial numbers wrote down. I know exactly everything about what guns I own. Well, wasn't too long ago. There's one that I keep in a specific place in my house that I can get to fairly quickly, should it be necessary. I don't hope it ever will be, but should it be necessary, I've got one that I keep in a very specific place in my house that's hid really well. But there were some kids at our house one night, and I decided, you know, I think I'm going to do something different with that. And I dropped the magazine out of it. I even took the slide off of it. I mean, you'd have to know how to build the thing before you could shoot it. And I took and I put the magazine in one place in my house, and I hid the plastic. I hid the upper somewhere else in my house. So first of all, you have to find the pieces. You're going to have to put them together before it could be dangerous. Well, let's just say this. I've got the magazine, and I have no clue where the rest of my gun is at in my house. I took it and I stored it so good. I hid it so good in my house that I have no idea. I've told all of them, I said, when you get in the drawer, I said, just pull everything out and see if you can find my gun somewhere or another. I don't know where it's. Hey, if you're thinking about breaking in my house, don't worry. I got some more. But anyway. But I've got pieces of a gun hid in my house somewhere that I can't find. Because I said, look, right here's a safe place. I want to put it over here and I'm just going to keep it real safe. And you know what? That's what some of us have done with our victory. We've took it somewhere and we've put it safe. We've said, right here is my victory. I got my victory when I was saved, in my case, at 7 years old. I put my victory right here when I was 7 years old. I know it's safe. I know that I've got victory. Now, you just stay right there. And you know what? We've got over here and we've got ourselves in trouble. And we can't even remember where our victory's at. We can't even remember where we put it at. We're getting sunk down. We're getting beat down. The devil is trampling us. The devil is beating us up. And we've got victory over here that we're not even using. Because we took it and hid it. We can't even remember where it's at. But that is something that God's given us and said, occupy with this. Do business with this while I'm gone. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is something else that God's given me that I think so many of us, we have taken it for granted. And we just say, well, I know God forgave me of all of my sin. I know that my sins have been washed away, never to be remembered against me again. And then, man, I'm so thankful for that. But I take my forgiveness for granted. I'm not doing business with it. Now, look, don't take this out of context and say, well, preacher said we got forgiveness, so I need to go do business. I need to go just sin all I can. That way my forgiveness is... No. Wrong track. But I'm going to tell you, there's some people out here that need to know what true forgiveness is. And there is no forgiveness like the forgiveness of God. No forgiveness like the forgiveness of God. Y'all know I give my wife a hard time. I couldn't preach without her. I mean, I'm telling you what. Please don't ever turn her loose with a microphone. If y'all do, I'm out of here. But she and I, you can get into a little bit of a disagreement. We've been married for 21 years, and I'm pretty sure she brings up stuff from 27 years ago sometimes. There's forgiveness. She's forgiven me. She's got past it. But there's still something a little bit there. You can remember it, but aren't you glad that when we stand before God, He's not even going to remember those things? This world may remember some of the things that you've done, but God has no idea. That's true forgiveness. You know what? That's what this world needs. We need to be doing business with that stuff. These people that are walking around saying, well, you don't believe what I did. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, and I don't need to know what you've done. The only thing I need you to know is that Jesus Christ will forgive you of anything that you've done. He'll forgive me of anything that I've done. And we need to go out and let people know that there is forgiveness of their sins, and that forgiveness gives us eternal life. How many people do you see living right now like they're living their only life? Look, I'm not talking about wearing a mask. I don't blame you. Wear a mask. I've heard of just some tragic situations here in the recent days of people that's got this mess, and it's been just horrific on them. I don't blame you. Wear a mask. When you go out in public, do those things. But I want to tell you what, there's some people that are actually living in absolute fear, like this is the only life that they have. This is not the only life I've got. Hey, this might be that I'm not a cat. I don't have 9 lives or anything like that. And I know that when this physical body dies, that when I die, I know my life is over. But when my life is over here, it's just beginning over there. That is comfort. We need to be doing business with that. There's a lost and a dying world out here thinking that if I die, that everything is over. But if I die, everything just starts in my life. I have forgiveness of my sins. I have grace and mercy. I have a satisfying, sustaining, sufficient grace in my life. I have a mercy that endures forever. How many of you have had to rely on the mercy of God, on the grace of God? Because you got saved, and when you got saved, you made a commitment to God that you were going to live your life for God. I made a commitment to God when I got saved. I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me of my sins, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to commit my life to you. Well, you know what? Over the years, I've took some of my life back. I've took some of my own choices back. I've made some decisions on my own that I didn't give to God. And I'm so thankful for the mercy and the grace of God that when I found myself in failure, that when I found myself in a mess, and I went back to God and said, God, I'm so sorry that I made this decision on my own. I'm so sorry that I left you and I went out and done my own thing, and God extended grace and mercy to me. I want to tell you that there are people this morning that need the grace and the mercy of God. They need to be reminded of the grace and the mercy of God. And here we are sitting in the pews at Fellowship Baptist Church, and we are celebrating the grace and the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the victory in our lives that God has given us. But what are we doing with it out there? Are we doing business with it? Or do we have it all over here in our little safe place? I don't know how many times I've had to run back for the grace and the mercy of God. I can remember being a young teenager. I really did try to live my life for God, and I made so many mistakes. Got into some mess I shouldn't have been into. Got to looking at some things I shouldn't have been looking at. And I had Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I was at the altar saying, God, forgive me. God, I know I shouldn't have been there. God, I know I shouldn't have told that joke. God, I know I shouldn't have listened to that. God, I know I shouldn't have been around these people because it hurt me spiritually. God, please forgive me for that. And God would have had every right to say, you know what? You did that 3 Sundays ago and 2 Sundays ago and last Sunday also. I'm sick and tired of that. But I'm so thankful that the mercy and the grace of God every time wrapped me up and said, I love you. Now let's go and sin no more. I'm so thankful for the mercy and the grace of God in my life. We've got peace that this world doesn't have. In the midst of unrest, we can know that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We can know that no matter what happens here on this earth, that we have somewhere better to go. We can know peace in the middle of great turmoil. This world's in turmoil right now. This world is, I mean, is it so much unrest? I don't know that we have... If we had 100 customers in our building in a day, I bet you out of 100, I bet you 80 some of them would bring up a topic that you find unrest in. Whether it be the virus, whether it be politics, no matter what it is, every single person that comes in there, they want to talk about the unrest. They want to talk about there's no peace. They want to talk about what's going to happen when this happens and what's going to happen when that happens. I don't know what all is going to happen. The only thing I know as I know that my faith and my trust is rooted and grounded in God, and that's where it better stay. And as long as it does, I can have the peace of God in my heart. Hey, I like to jump up on my soapbox from every now and again. See, I don't quite hold back politically so much at work. Yes, I really do. Until I figure out what the customer thinks. Because I'm there for one purpose, and that is to do my job for the company that I work for. But if they want to talk and they want to ask me my opinion, I can give my opinion. I'm good at that. I'm real good at that. Amen. I knew she'd give it there. I'm really good at letting you know that I'm right. Real good at that. But you know what? When I get done with my soapbox, and when we stand around there for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and we talk about all the world's problems, and we walk away, guess what? All of the problems are still there. It's all still there. But you want to know what else is still there? That I've got the peace of God in my heart. What bothers me is there's people that come in there and they talk, and they really, all the hope they have is in this world. And if it don't get fixed by this or it don't get fixed by that, they're just going to come apart. Hey, we need some things to get fixed. But more than anything at all, I need to be reassured in doing business with the peace of God that I have and sharing that. When they start talking about political unrest, when they start talking about this virus, you know what I need to start saying? Instead of jumping up on my soapbox and going one way or the other with them, I need to jump up on my soapbox and say, yeah, but I'm so thankful that God loved me so much that I can have peace with all of this going on. I'm not doing business with that. I got to move on. I got on my toes right there. We can have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. This morning, the whole point of the message is this. God has given us some things that we should be doing business with, that we should be out here investing in lost people, that we should be investing in Christian people. Look at this. When the nobleman come back, he took the men that he gave the money to, and he made them accountable for what they had done for it. See, we as Christian people, I'm so thankful that I will not stand and give an account for my sin. He told me that he forgave me of my sin, that he cast it as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. Amen, hallelujah. But I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to give an account for what I've done with my life and what I've done with this body. For the deeds that I've done, whether they've been good or whether they've been bad. Just as these guys were given an account for what they had done. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait until you say, well, I've my whole life is about past and I've done nothing with the things that God has given me. God's given it to us in his word just this morning. Real quickly, I'll leave you with this morning. We all felt the earthquake, right? I mean, what, 10, 11 seconds? I don't know what it was. It was long enough that I was dumb and didn't know what it was and figured it out before it stopped. So, then, just in passing, I happened to see my insurance man today. I just so happened to see him. And the first thing he said was, oh, man, my phone's going to ring off a hook tomorrow. And he said, everybody's going to want to know about earthquake and this and that and the other. I hope I'm not saying more than I should. And I said, well, what about earthquake? He said, well, if you ain't purchased earthquake insurance, I said, so you telling me that if my house was laying in a pile this morning that I'm just out of luck, if you don't have earthquake insurance? Hey, who knows? I might be selling for him right now. Who knows? And I said, you telling me that if I called you and said my house just crumbled in a pile, that you would just say, I'm sorry, that's not covered because you don't have the correct insurance. And he said, yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, but yeah, that's what it would be. Well, you know what? Once the earthquake happened, well, first of all, I told him I was going to switch insurance. And it's going to be like that everywhere. But so here's the point of the story. Don't wait till it's too late to figure out what you should have been doing. Don't wait. See, it would have been too late after the earthquake already happened. It would have been too late after my house was already laying in ruins to then say, oh, but I want to do so. I want to buy some insurance right now. I want to buy earthquake insurance. Don't come look at my house right now. I need to buy some earthquake insurance right now. It would have been too late. You know what? I'm afraid a lot of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, I wanted to do more. I should have done more. I'd give anything if I'd done more. Well, you know what? Right now is your opportunity to make adjustments in your life. Occupy until I come. Go and do business with what God has given us. Don't take all these things that God's given us and take them out here and put them on the shelf and never share them with the people that need to hear them. Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitation hymn this morning. Church, as God gave me this message, I had to stop and say, you know what? I'm doing a whole lot of investing in a whole lot of the wrong things. I'm doing a whole lot of investing in things that are temporal instead of investing in the eternal. I'm doing a whole lot of investing. Just yesterday, I was talking with my dad, and just off the cuff, just because I can be nosy like this, I looked at him and said, Dad, are you prepared financially for retirement? And he kind of looked at me kind of weird. And he's usually giving me that speech. And we had a discussion, and I think it kind of, and he said, the only thing I'm going to tell you, he said, you always think you're going to have plenty of time to prepare. He said, and then all of a sudden it's on top of you. And you don't have any more time to prepare. If you're here and you're lost this morning, I want to beg you with everything that's in me to come and receive these gifts that I've talked about. That God has given us the victory, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, the joy, the peace that God has given us. I want to beg you to come and get that. Most of all, just to know that you have eternal life when you leave here. Don't wait till it's too late. The Bible tells us that we're all going to stand before God. Hey, that earthquake comes so unexpectedly this morning, didn't it? Nobody knew it was going to happen. Nobody knew that was going to take place. It was just like, hey, what is that? Do you know that that's the way that either death or the rapture is going to find us? Just like that, we're going to be out of here. Are you ready just like you are? If you're here and you're lost this morning and your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not ready to face God. You're not ready to stand before God. You have taken everything that Jesus Christ did on the cross and you said, I don't need that. I'll do it my own way. Where your own way will lead nowhere but to hell. That's not pretty, but that's right. That's truth. And if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior this morning and you have received these gifts and you've taken them and you've set them on the shelf, you're spending your time with the things of this world. You're spending your time thinking about what's happening right now. You're spending your time taking care of things here in this world. We're just pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're just passing through, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Don't invest so much in this world, but let's invest in eternity. Let's invest in someone else that needs to know Jesus Christ. Let's invest in some Christian who's beat down, who's wore down, who's in the middle of something that needs to be reminded of these gifts that God's given us. If you will, pray with me this morning. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for the gifts that you've given me. God, I don't know anybody's heart in this place this morning. But God, I pray, dear Father, whether it be somebody in this building or somebody watching on Facebook, that if they're lost, God, I pray that you'll speak to their heart right now. God, I pray that you'll draw them. God, I pray that they can't find rest, that they can't find any comfort. I pray that they can't find anything that satisfies until they come to know Jesus Christ. God, I pray for the Christians that are listening or watching, God. God, that I found myself investing in all the wrong places. That I found myself paying attention to all the wrong things. And I know that I have these gifts, but I've laid them up and I'm saving them. When God, you've told me to go and do business. God, I know it's tough right now. People don't want you to be close to them. People don't want you to be in their area. But I want to know that I have done my best to share the gospel, to share these gifts with someone else, that they may come to know you as their personal Savior, or they may remember the gifts that you've given them and be encouraged as a Christian. God, thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. As you stand to your feet this morning, as she sings, if there's something that you need to come and pray and ask God to help you with, if you've realized that you've laid your gifts up and you need to come and ask God to forgive you and to help you, this altar's open. Most of all, if you're lost, there is no better time than this morning than to come to know Jesus Christ.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need.
believe that's sufficient this morning. Thank you for being with us. If you're watching us on Facebook, thank you for being with us this morning. I hope that you've taken this opportunity to either adjust or, if nothing else, to pray for me that I will invest the things that God's given me into changing someone's life or changing someone's eternity. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you're watching on Facebook Live, we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.